Okay. So I'm launching a corporate consulting client. They're opening up as a network marketing company. They have a very limited budget. They have a small core of founding distributors, and they want to get out there rapidly. So they want to go cold market. They want to do some advertising. I said, great, I can put some ads in some publications. I believe we could generate a very good number of leads. What's your budget? Then they tell me their budget. I say, what? You need a budget 10 times bigger than that. No, that's all we've got to work with. So I've got to get creative. Now the market, the demographic that I'm shooting for at this point is the people who read Inc. magazine and Entrepreneur magazine and the Business Opportunity magazines that have all those little ads in the back. Now you know the ads I'm talking about. They're the ones for the giant gumball machine company and the ceiling tile cleaning companies and the carpet cleaning companies and the mobile wash on wheels companies, and so all of the, and then the franchises. We have all the sub shops and all the hairstyling franchises and all the restaurant, you know, the donut machine franchise, the donut wagon. So we could buy the wagon to pull this, you know, behind our car to go to some festival and crank out donuts, you know. People are buying all these franchises, and they're paying a lot of money for them. So I've got this idea. Let's bring people into all these people who are looking at all these franchises, let's bring them into the network marketing business. And we'll show them you don't need $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to start up our business. You can do it for a grand or under. Not only that, but you won't be stuck as a slave in a restaurant making subs for 10 hours a day or, you know, wearing a paper hat and all the stuff that those people have to go through. So I want to go in those magazines. Of course, I'd love a full-page ad. My client won't give me that kind of budget. So they have all those little sixth of a page ads in the back, six on every page. Say, all right, I've got to run an ad there. But I've got to get people's attention because I'm on a page with five other ads, and then there's another page with six, and another one, and another one, and you've seen the back of those magazines. They've got 15, 20 pages of six ads apiece, some of those. So what do you do to stand out? Well, as a marketer, one of the things I've learned, the thing that makes an ad spectacular, the thing that will separate your ad from all of the other ads is the headline. Because the headline is the ad for the ad. Because the headline determines whether or not we read the ad. So we can do a benefit headline, lose 30 pounds in 30 days. We could do a fear headline, if you don't lose 30 pounds, you're going to drop dead. We can use a question headline, do you know the six secrets to developing residual walk-away income? Or we could use what I call an intrigue headline, which is a headline that intrigues you so much you've got to read the rest of the ad. And that's the approach I decided to do since I was working on a limited budget and was competing with all these other ads. So I created a headline, which I probably wouldn't create today. At the consciousness that I'm at right now, I probably would not do this ad. This was 10, 12 years ago. So, and those of you guys playing the disc in the car with your kids driving along, in case you're sensitive, you may want to pop out the disc now. And if you don't say I didn't warn you. Because here I am on the page with all these other ads to compete with. So I created my intrigue headline, which said, "Are you a schmuck?" And then underneath it said, before you spend $10,000 or $20,000, $30,000 buying a franchise and basically buying a minimum wage job, why don't you talk to us about network marketing? We can show you how you can be your own boss, choose the hours, great tax advantages, great travel abilities, become successful by helping other people reach success and have an unlimited income potential. You can do all this for under $1,000 investment. Oh, and by the way, you'll never have to ask people, do you want fries with that? This ad generated more responses than our founding distributors could possibly keep up with. Just deluge with responses. Now, of course, I got a call about a few weeks later from the president of the company. She said, "Randy, do you know what schmuck means?" I said, "Yes, I do." "Why?" She said, no, I mean, do you really know what it means?" I said, "Yes." "Why?" "Because the magazine is on the phone. And they're getting a lot of complaints from people, and they say they're printing pornography, and they're upset, and they're canceling their subscriptions, and they want to pull the ad." I said, "Well, that's not a problem, Penny, because they print those magazines like 90 days in advance. We're going to have a couple more ads before they can pull it." She said, "That's why they're so upset." And, of course, we ended up not needing to run the ad anymore because we had more responses coming in than they could possibly handle. There was an interesting lesson in that to me. A few years later, I'm launching another client. I'm working with a corporate, consulting job. I'm working with some people. They launched. So I take an ad in, what is Moneymakers Monthly called these days? It's there's a new name for it. Business Journal, anybody know? Somebody. Oh, nobody knows? Oh. Anyway, it's an industry publication with a pretty big readership that we've done very well with some marketing in the past. So we did a profile where we were the company of the month. You get some editorial placement with it. And I took this full-page centerfold. It's a big newspaper format, so when you take a full page, it's pretty big. So right in the center of this huge two-page centerfold spread, I put a little one-inch logo with the name of the company. And underneath it, I wrote, "If you don't know, ask someone," and the phone number. That's it. 99%, this huge two-page spread, nothing but white space. Now, when they called the phone number, they got a voice recording. The voice recording did a little bit of teaser about what the benefits were to the business and then said you could send for the free pre-launch information pack. Because this company was not in business yet. They weren't going to open for about 90 or 120 days. We didn't have the sales materials done. The product stuff was not ready. It wasn't going to launch for 3 or 4 months. But I wanted to get a kickstart and get going fast. So we created this phone mail message, and then they had to they give their name, their address, and phone number, and then we would ship them out the information pack. Well, the information pack was actually a sales letter about the launch of the company. Pretty lengthy one, probably 10 or 12 pages, if I remember. And it talked about what the company was going to be, what the product line would be, why these products would be sexy in the marketplace, what kind of income opportunity was possible, and just went on with the benefits of the business and the excitement of being in a pre-launch company, but ground floor opportunity, all the stuff you guys have heard a million times. We put all that in the sales letter, and I believe this is the most successful sales letter that's ever been mailed in network marketing history. Because in the sales letter, I actually sent a distributor application and a product customer automatic shipping application. And they had to choose a $40 a month auto ship or an $80 a month auto ship. And we had 700-800 people signing up with credit cards 4 months before the company even launched. And then from there, of course, branched off from them. So I learned another pretty powerful lesson. Now, along the way, I discovered some things. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was a recruiting animal in this business with cold market stuff. Display ads, card decks, and direct mail. And I'm going to talk about those mediums in a minute in detail. But I will tell you this. I was very, very successful with it to the point where, I got to the point where I was sponsoring 50, 60 people a month on my front level in a breakaway program and had these people and actually spun off an advertising co-op so people I sponsored were getting leads. We set up with a voicemail tree so once you became a member of the co-op, they would call an 800 number. The 800 number would take in all the calls and then direct it to the mailboxes of the individual people in the advertising co-ops. And if you had one share, you got one share worth of leads. If you had two shares, you got twice as much. Depending on how many shares you had in the co-op, the leads were, it's all done by computer. Nobody could cherry pick any leads or, you know, do any of that stuff. It all was automated. It all was automatic. So I'm bringing in 50, 60 people on my front level, and these people are joining the co-op and getting their people going. And we put in some pretty big numbers in a relatively small period of time. I think I did the cold market recruiting as well as anybody who's ever done it in the business. And I've seen the Ray Cassano tape and the dead doctors don't lie tape and the dead doctors came back to life tape and the, you know, whatever tape. I believe I've done the cold market recruiting as good as anybody ever have because I'm a very good copywriter. I understand about marketing. I understand about advertising copy. One of the things I discovered along the way of that is that the more I got into the cold market stuff, the percentage of people who duplicated well went down. And as you increase the cold market stuff, the percentage of duplication will go down. Because now we're talking about renting mailing lists, creating sales letters, renting or putting ads in card decks, taking ads in magazines, having to invest some money as opposed to someone who could join Average Business Sundays for $300 or $400. They might need $1,500 to get in and do the cold market stuff. So we anytime the investment level goes up, the percentage of duplication is going to go down. So, you know, there's no way around that. As the investment goes up, duplication goes down. As cold market stuff goes up, replication will go down. So I think the secret of this approach is to balance those two. So you're not running ads on the Super Bowl, and you're not doing full-page ads maybe in USA Today, and you're not necessarily doing TV commercials or in radio commercials, although there's some possibilities where that may come into play, and I'll talk about them. But I found that if you can keep the core foundation, the warm market, and use the cold market to supplement, you will duplicate better and you'll have more long-term residual security. Now, those of you who have followed my career for the last 20 years now, I've been in this business, have seen me go both ways on this subject. Because I started in the, like I say, late 80s, early 90s, I was just a recruiting animal doing stuff in direct mail and space ads all over the place. I got totally away from that and went totally 100% to warm market recruiting and wouldn't let anybody in my organization run ads, do direct mail, do any of those things. Everyone had to do the 100-name list, work the warm market exclusively, or I wasn't going to work with them. And my whole system was predicated on the warm market stuff. Now I've evolved to the point where I've come to the middle. Now, why has that happened? Well, it happens because I let my approach change with the way the marketplace changes. For instance, you know, one of the things as a marketer, I would tell you, when everyone else is zigging, you want to be zagging. So when everybody was mailing out Cassano tapes and dead doctor tapes and this tape and that tape, I didn't want to be mailing tapes. Though I had been very successful earlier mailing tapes. But when everyone started mailing tapes, I got out of mailing tapes. When everyone was doing full-page display ads and lots of direct mail stuff and card decks, I went to the warm market stuff. When everyone went to the warm market stuff, then I started looking at cold market stuff. The other variable that's taken place in the marketplace, and this is a very important one for you to know as a marketer, is the attention span of the prospect and the distraction factor of the prospect, and the patience and tolerance level of the prospect. Back in the day, you could sponsor someone into Shaklee. You could introduce them to the vitamins, tell them about the business. They would share some vitamins with their friends and neighbors. They would share the vitamins and the products for 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years, maybe 5 years. Then they would decide they wanted to do the business. They would go to a convention. They would get excited, say, you know, honey, we got to be serious about this. We've been eating these vitamins for 5 years. We've got 4 or 5 customers who take them. We should look at the business seriously. They would become a business builder with the goal of becoming a master coordinator. They would work the business for 10 years, and in 10 years, they would become a master coordinator. Shackley would buy them a new car every year. They would take them on a beautiful all-expense-paid vacation every year. They'd get a Shackley bonus car sticker on the back of their car, and they'd be very excited, and life was good. That was back in the day. You're now dealing with the television generation, the internet generation. People today have the attention span of a gnat. If you're old enough, if you're 45 or older, you remember Walter Cronkite and David Brinkley, and you watch a news anchor, and they had pages, and they read the pages, and the really good guys didn't need to look at the pages much. They'd glance, and they'd look up, and they would talk for 90 seconds, for 2 minutes about a story. And then they'd go to Bob Schieffer at the White House. Bob would be wearing a trench coat. He'd have one of those long microphones, and the White House would be in the back. And he'd say, "This is Bob Schieffer reporting. Today the president launched a new initiative on the social welfare program." And he talked for 90 seconds. And then he said, "This is Bob Schieffer reporting for NBC or CBS or whatever." And now we went back to the anchor. Now watch the news today with Peter Jennings, Tom Brady, whoever. You will see Brian Williams. You will see they watch the anchor for 3 seconds. Then the logo. Every story has a logo. Athens 2004. The hostage crisis. The banking scandal. Everything's got a logo. So the logo comes up. And then he finishes for 3 seconds. He turns this way. And now this camera comes on. Then we go to the reporter. And every 3 to 7 seconds, the image changes. On CBS, NBC, they're pretty much every 7 seconds. If you watch CNN, every 3 to 4 seconds. If you watch MTV, you will see that the image changes every single second. And not only does the image change every single second, but there's 4 to 5 different elements going on the screen at the same time. Carson Daly's Hot 5 at 5, number 6, and the box is going around, and number 4 is flashing, and then there's a scroll at the bottom, there's a pop-up box at the top, and the video, every video going on MTV is changing the image every single second, because the internet generation has grown up with video games and doing this, and if they don't have something assaulting their senses every possible second, they won't pay attention, and they will zone out. So now, do you think those people are going to get in Shackley and build 10 years to get to what I call a livable income? Ain't going to happen. The key, what I want to do when I sponsor you in the business, is I want to get you to golden handcuff money as quickly as I can. Now, what's golden handcuff money? It means she's making $5,000 a month. If I get her $5,000 a month, she's never going to quit for the rest of her life. Doesn't matter if the products get on back order. It doesn't matter if they mix up a batch of the honey peanut bars and she's allergic to them and she breaks out once. It doesn't matter that someone drops out in her group. It doesn't matter that the president of the company was seen cavorting in a brothel in Singapore. It doesn't matter. She's got $5,000 a month coming in. She's not getting rid of her $5,000 a month. It's golden handcuffs. If I can get her in a bonus car, she's got a brand new Mercedes. The company's making the payment every month. She's never going to quit because then she'd have to buy a car. Now, she might have had the money to buy a car, but the fact is she spent it because now the company was buying the car and she doesn't have a trade-in and, you know, whatever money comes in, she ends up spending because Americans live on 125% of what they make and the rest of the world lives on 112% of what they make. So she doesn't have money to go out and buy. She's got golden handcuffs, or she's in the Founders Club. Or she's qualifying for an affinity bonus that gets paid out every leadership conference every January, and she's going to get $15,000 or $18,000 or whatever. So I want to get her to the golden handcuff money status as quickly as I can. I also want to deal with the fact that I have less attention spans and people don't have the patience. And really, there was a day people really did build, the average time it took someone to build a big volume network marketing business was 10 to 15 years. And that was normal in the 70s. That was normal in the 80s. It doesn't happen that way anymore because people won't wait around that long. So one of the things I have done is I've said, okay, I want to ground my people in the warm market prospecting fundamentals based on the list of the foundation, and I want to supplement those with some cold market strategies. And the closer I stay to the warm market stuff, the more duplicable it's going to be long term. So that's what I'm going to focus on. So now let's talk about some possibilities, some of the ways you can supplement with cold market. And I'm not going to get into depth on each of these because we have a resource about that which you can study, but I want to give you an idea of what you should be thinking about in terms of your group. Card decks, those are the plastic packs. They got 150 different cards in them. They are much lower price to market than sending a sales letter because you're paying the postage to 10,000 people, and a sales letter can be pretty expensive. You can go in a card deck and you can reach 250,000 people for a fraction of what you'd mail 10,000 of your own letter to. I used those very successfully. Again, you need a compelling headline, you need copy, and you need to use them for a certain outcome, which we're going to talk about in a second. Direct mail. I did a lot with direct mail. I still use direct mail, a great amount to this day. I love direct mail. People say, mail doesn't work. It's so expensive. Everybody's on email anymore. You're wasting your money with all the printing and the postage. No. What I've found is now everybody's looking for the free way to do it, and nobody's mailing anymore because everybody's zigging. I'm going to be zagging. I love direct mail right now. But how and how to use it, we'll talk in a second. Display ads or space ads. These are the ads in magazines. I like these for industry trade publications. I'm not going to take an ad in Time or Newsweek or The Economist, most likely, for $50,000. But some of the industry trade publications might be very good for you. Classified ads. These are the ones that are very inexpensive. They can be done on a local basis, so they can be very keep the duplicable part of the business going on with the warm market stuff. So when you're looking to do it in a small way, think about classifieds. Now, TV and radio. This is a big budget thing. TV commercials are not cheap. Production is not cheap. However, I will tell you, I have a couple of people who are in my mastermind council right now who are running a TV campaign across the nation, and they are in one of the biggest network marketing companies in the world today, and they have probably the fastest growing organization in the entire country. They are throwing scads of people into the business on a monthly basis. Now, what we have done, and I worked with them on this pipeline we set up, which was they run the TV ads as a lead generation to send people to a website. They go to the website, and on the website, they put down a deposit to get a packet sent to them. And so then they get the packet, and they have to give their phone number, and then the distributor, it's done as a lead co-op with, we've got thousands of distributors in it at this point. They're all co-oping in there. So they get a certain number of leads come in. They call the lead who has been to the website, requested the packet, and they call them a couple of days after they got the packet. So it's a big money expenditure, which my client was willing to do because they're very successful. They make a great deal of money in the business. They have a huge organization. So the kind of production costs to get a company and film a commercial and buy massive TV time, they had the resources to do that, and they've done that, and they've got a pretty big thing going on with it. I'll talk about how I handle stuff like that when we talk about that strategy in just a second. But right now, I just want you to be thinking of some different things. E-zines, or electronic newsletters, or email newsletters. These are very inexpensive. I would put these in the category like classified ads. I think this is something you could do to supplement some warm market stuff pretty readily without a big expense. Banner ads, these are the ads you take on websites for a box that loads on a page or flashes when you go to a page. I'm recommending completely against these. The results of these are absolutely abysmal. They've dropped through the basement. There was a time when they were great. But again, everybody started zigging, you got to be zagging. So they are not doing well right now. What's doing well right now would be the next thing on the list, which would be AdWords, or pay-per-click, you may call it referred to. Like Google AdWords, or sites where you pay for a listing. When somebody will go to a search engine and they will put in a term like network marketing or multi-level marketing or direct selling, you can buy ads that pop up and you pay just when they click through your ad. Now, this is not for the uninitiated. You need to study how to do this if you're going to do this. But if you were going to do some internet stuff right now and you asked me what to do, that would be the one that I would recommend that you do. because those are, for people who know what they're doing, those are very effective right now. So those are a lot of different possibilities, a lot of different mediums. There's some other ones, but these would be the main ones I think most people would look at. So let's talk about the strategy now if you're doing these kind of things. Well, you got two options in terms of how you're doing it of partnership. Either you're doing it by yourself, which means you're doing more of a lower budget, individual thing, or B, you're doing an advertising co-op with the people in the organization. So what I'm going to suggest, if you're going to get into the bigger dollar expenditures for marketing and really start to get to some broad reach stuff, then I'm going to suggest you go the advertising co-op route. And do it in a way like I did, where things are automated, where leads go by computer or by voicemail or by however to the people in the co-op, so no one can pick and choose individual leads or cherry pick or corrupt the system. You want it to be fair and equitable to everyone because you want it to replicate with the best results. So if you're going to do it in a bigger way, I would go with the co-op thing. And if you do it low-key, just don't make it the main focus. Make the warm market the main focus, working their list, and supplementing it with some. So in other words, if you're doing your main list and you're running a little classified in one of the local publications in your city, and it gets you an extra 20 leads a month, and of the 20 leads you get a couple of customers and you get one or two people who become distributors, great. It's just going to grow your business that much faster, and then your people can duplicate that where they're working the warm market and they're doing the small classified or the small easing ads or the pay-per-click, let's say. So they're going to get to that golden handcuff money that much sooner. Because my plan is really a 2 to 4 year plan, and I'm really shooting for 2 years, as you'll see as we look at the stuff this afternoon. I want to get people to a livable income within 2 years because the clock is really ticking and people are really impatient to get out of there. Now, make sure you understand this distinction for marketing. A sponsoring approach versus a lead generation approach. You can't sponsor a qualified distributor with a classified ad. Because you've got 3 lines or 5 lines. You're not going to tell everybody everything they need to know about the business. You're not going to sponsor a distributor with a card deck. You're not going to sponsor a distributor on a pay-per-click ad. The point of those should be to generate a lead. And then let the lead come to a big information exchange. Which might be the lead gets an 18-page sales letter, which could sponsor them. The lead gets them to send money for a packet where you send them a DVD and an audio and a catalog and a sales letter, and that's enough to sponsor them. Or the lead gets them to call you up. You have a phone conversation. You meet for a one-on-one at Starbucks, and you sponsor them at Starbucks. So make sure as you look at any of the cold market stuff, say, what's the outcome I'm looking for here? Because if it's a low budget thing, the outcome is probably needs to be just to generate a lead and then get the lead to plug into your prospecting pipeline. And that's going to be the most effective way. Now let me tell you how I worked with leads and how I did this when I was doing the space ads and the direct mail and the card decks and all this stuff. I was a phone animal. I was on the phone 10 hours a day because I was doing the business full-time. I was putting a lot of people in the business. So I was doing the business full-time. And in that case, I worked 10 hours a day on the telephone working across the time zones. So at 7 o'clock Eastern time, I'm talking to people in Miami and North Carolina and New York and Boston. And 8 o'clock I am, and maybe I'm on with someone from Wisconsin and Michigan or Illinois. And at 9 o'clock, I'm probably talking to somebody in Montana. At 10 at night or 11 o'clock at night, I'm probably talking to someone from L.A. And late in the night, at 3 in the morning, I might be talking to someone in Honolulu. And I worked across the time zones making my calls. And I had a horrendous phone bill. Because when I talked, and the phone was a lot more expensive in those days. Now, phone is nothing. I mean, it's so cheap for long distance. Back then, it was a lot. It was like 25 cents a minute back then. My average time on a call was anywhere from 45 minutes to 2 hours with a prospect. Because, and let me tell you how I did this. I wasn't looking for a bunch of prospects. When I was doing my lead generation, I did what we were doing with Michael on the TV thing right now, which is they had to give you some money for a packet. See, even if you tell someone, send $1 for information, send $1 to cover postage and handling, you will see your response gets dramatically less. Because there's a lot more people who will send for free information. Even to send a dollar, it will dramatically lower. If you ask for $10, it will get exponentially smaller. If you ask for $100, it will get exponentially minuscule smaller. But the more money they pay for a packet, the more qualified of a prospect they are. So in my case, instead of talking to 200 people a day, of which 190 were a waste of time, I said, I'd rather ask for more money for a packet. So I was asking for $15 for a packet back in 92 and 93 and 94. So $15 was, that'd be like asking for $25 or $30 right now. It's a lot of money to ask for an information pack from someone who's just coming from a lead. But I sold the packet. The point of the lead generation was, I'm going to send you a 65-minute video which will show you how the company works and how you could make money there and what the market potential is there. I'm going to send you a catalog to show you how in demand these markets are and people will be wanting to buy these products from you. I will send you details on our support structure of how I will be your partner and the people in our sponsorship line, how we will help you get grounded in the business and meet new prospects and make presentations and teach you how to grow the organization. And this and this, I sold the packet. So they wanted to buy the packet. Because remember, the point, here's another $1 million tip for you. The whole point of a meeting is to sell the next meeting. Okay? Whole point of a meeting, a meeting's not successful unless we sold the next meeting. So the point of a meeting is to sell the next meeting. So the point, at every point of the prospecting pipeline, the whole point of that is to sell the next step in the process. So what I sold initially was the packet. This packet will show you how to do this and this and this and this and this. Buy the packet. Now when they get the packet, I let the packet sell them on the business. But I send them the packet on Monday, and I send it priority mail or Federal Express. So they got the packet within 48 hours. I don't want people waiting 5 days to get a packet. They will cool off. The prospect will be dead. Everything that happens in your prospecting thing needs to go in increments of 48 hours or less. So I'm sending these packets by priority type of shipping. I'm getting on the phone with them. We've got an appointment. They're going to get it. They're going to review it. And I'm going to call them at 9 o'clock at night after they've already watched the video. They've read the brochure. They've read this. They've done that. And then I get on the phone, and I spend 45 minutes or an hour or 2 hours. And what I was doing was developing relationships. So even though I had never been to their state, even though we had never met in person, some of those people, even today, are very, very good friends of mine, and we have developed long-term, lifetime relationships based on the time that we spent on the phone, because we just really got to know each other. And I think if you're going to do the cold market stuff, and particularly you're going to do the cold market stuff on a level where it gets people outside of your area where you live, so you're going to be emailing and phoning people, and of course, email is a nicer way to supplement a lot of this stuff now, so we can do a lot more. But I would never just do the email thing. I have found the phone to be very successful, so I want to do the phone thing and build that relationship. And what I found by doing that, I was very effective, and I had much higher retention and duplication than other people who built cold market. So if you're going to do leads, and you're going to do the cold market stuff, that's the way I'm going to suggest you do that. Build those relationships. Now, in terms of approaches, if you're advertising in industry publications, go with the direct approach. Tell them right up front you're doing Noni Juice, or tell them right up front you're doing VitaCore, or you're doing whatever you're doing. Let them know it's network marketing, direct selling, Mary Kay, whatever it is, because they're in the business. Don't waste time and don't create an extra step of the process. If you're going outside into the mass market, then I'm going to suggest you do that indirect, where you're going to sell the benefits of the business, you let them know it's a marketing business, and you're probably going to introduce the company and the products at the second step of the equation. But under no circumstances am I recommending you do with a total secrecy approach, because I don't think that works. Other million-dollar tip on cold market prospecting: the most important component is immediate action. The most important component is immediate action. If you're using budget constraints as an excuse to put things off, if you're waiting to save up enough money for a campaign, if you're waiting for your sponsorship line to develop a lead campaign, you're always going to lose. Be working your warm market, be working your list, and always take immediate action, and you will always do better than the people who are waiting around for the perfect media campaign. All right, when we come back, on the other side, we're going to look at secrets of the sponsoring process. So I will see you then.